The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out about city, broken ain't a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad under bad tape, bad life, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where I only had one bag of shake left, and Granny stole that too when she did a drive-by today after drinking a glass or two of Pinot in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shade up, should do, but all my friends that come around. Flat the fledged patio, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, what a mess this house is at, and my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should be shake out. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Mafia tonight. Ben Kercheval joined us from CBS to talk college football coming up this very hour. I actually have been watching this college football game tonight down in the Bayou in Louisiana in Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns, and they're going at it with Coastal Carolina, and Coastal had a 20-13 lead, but the Raging Cajuns tied it up. It's 20 apiece now, the last time I checked, and remember, Coastal was getting 7 in that game, so I've had my eyes on that all night. It's 20 apiece now going to the fourth quarter, and I had Louisiana winning and Coastal covering the 7 spot. I middled it. Also, the baseball going on, the Dodgers have had a rough night, clearly having their problems against the Braves. 15-1 Los Angeles. He scored 11 runs in the first inning. And then Arozarena hit a 2-run shot for the Rays in the fourth inning to tie the game. The Astros were up 2-0. Altuve drove in both, a home run and an RBI double, and it was 2-0 Astros, but the Rays tie it up on the 2-run shot off the wall and left for Arozarena, and they're in the fifth now, a good one brewing in San Diego.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coastal Carolina just scored to start the fourth quarter, and it's like a really good game, right? So, of teams you don't care about in the Sun Belt, but Grayson McCall, a run for 1 yard TD to get in. I guess McCall ran 3 yards. He got to the one or 1 yard run to the three, and then he ran it in from three. So McCall gets it done, 27-20. He rolled out, tucked it in, dove in, got hit, made it, and Coastal goes up 7. And remember, they're getting 7. So I'm sitting up 14 right now with, the rest of the fourth quarter to go. He's literally scored like 30 seconds into the fourth quarter. So it's a really good game. It's wild. They kick off to Louisiana. They face mask on the run back. So tack 15 onto it. It was a good run to begin with, and now you tack another 15 on. So penalties, they just can't keep the lead. Every time they have the lead, they've given it up. They were down early in the game and then tied it, and it was 7-0 Louisiana, then 7-7, and then eventually every time Coastal's had a lead, they let it up. They just give it up, and they can't hold on to the lead, and they're right again with a 7-point lead in the fourth, and they're letting Louisiana back into it with a bad face mask on the kick return. So anyway, it's pretty wild college football game, 27-20 in the fourth, 14 minutes left. Not bad for a, Wednesday night college football game in the Sun Belt. I can live with it. I told you on the show today on Coast to Coast, or in fact, I guess I did an interview today, and I think I've said this on Coast to Coast, that before long, you know, when we talked about the MAC, when you add the MAC in, when they start playing, literally there's going to be Monday night football, Tuesday, Wednesday MAC, Thursday night football, Friday night college football, Saturday, Sunday college and pro football. Football will become 7 days per week, every week in like 2 weeks. 7 days a week, there'll be a game. And then you already see what they're doing in pro football with the COVID. Whenever there's COVID, and there's tests positive and they shut down a facility, they have to cancel the game, postpone the game, and then move it to Monday or Tuesday. That's what they're doing. They're just moving games, rescheduling games. And I mean, I don't think for 1 minute it'll be the last, add on Monday or move Tuesday game that we're going to see the rest of the way. I think it's going to be, frankly, just about every week. It looks like there's, a problem just about every week. And it's every day now. There's teams testing positive. And I think that, obviously in college football, we're going to talk more about it with Kirchhoff. But all I know is that, Nick Saban and the athletic director at Alabama both tested positive. Now they let this quarterback run wild for Louisiana. He literally just ran 160 yards for down to the 1 foot line. He was a foot away from a 60 yard touchdown run. This game is absolutely crazy. What I've come to surmise is there's literally no defense. So, but anyway, the bottom line is that Saban is positive. The AD is positive. And, now there's the only way they're not coaching. They're not going to coach that game Saturday. Sarkisian's coaching. But the bottom line is he, if it's a false positive, if he has to pass several tests, I think Thursday and Friday and Saturday to be able to coach that game against Georgia is just, that's just my guess. But right now, from what I'm hearing, it's literally Sarkisian's going to coach him. Now, a lot of people think that he's going to be watching on some camera and coaching the team from home or whatever. And that just does not sound like it makes any sense to me. But Sarkisian will do fine. The guy is coached everywhere. Washington, USC, you name it. He'll do fine. He's been on that staff now for a while. They pay him millions to be an assistant. It's crazy the money that Sarkisian makes as an assistant at Alabama. All of his assistants over the years, the top ones, make millions of dollars. So that's what you pay him for. Now let the guy coach. It is what it is. I think it's unavoidable. The Astros have the lead now 4-2. They've scored again in the bottom of the fifth. Springer, a two-run homer with Maldonado on. So George Springer hits one 405 feet to left field where the home runs are flying out tonight. That's where Rosarena's home run went for the Rays. They were down 2-0 and tied it 2-2. Now it's 4-2 again. So Glasnow still pitching in the game for the Rays. The guy's been throwing 100 miles an hour, 101 mile an hour. He's had it all going. But he's given up two home runs, Altuve and Springer, and then an RBI double from Altuve. Now he's up again. This guy's haunting Glasnow tonight. And the funny thing is that last night they blamed him for the error that led to the big five-run inning. So he threw the ball away at second base on an easy routine double play ball. And this time he grounds out into a double play. But the Astros have the lead again, going to the sixth inning. 4-2. So it is what it is. But anyway, what was your reaction, Mafia, to Nick Saban? Like during Coast to Coast today, we were on the air and you told me that Saban had tested positive and the athletic director. Obviously, nobody wants anybody to get the COVID or whatever. But, the only one they care about is Nick Saban. Obviously, that sounds mean, but no one cares about that athletic director at the end of the day. That guy will go home to his mansion in Tuscaloosa and shake it off. But Saban not being on the sidelines, that's a story. The athletic director, most people everywhere around the country have no idea who that is, and literally. And so they just don't care. But they do care when the story is Nick Saban.
Yeah, it's a big story. You know, we've always talked about what happens if, you know, your best player tests positive, things like that. And you saw that a little bit with, you know, the Patriots and Cam Newton and how that could change a game. But, you know, you don't talk much about, well, what if the head coach tests positive? And sure, we've had that down in Florida State, but no one really thought they were any good, so no one cared. Now, the best coach in all of college football has tested positive, and he's an older guy, so this could affect him greatly, and we'll have to see how this goes. I mean, this is something that could be not only just dangerous for him, but you know, this is a national title contender. This is a team that just, you know, was scoring left and right against Ole Miss last week. This is a team that's undefeated and is going to be in the playoff. You know, even if they lose once, they're probably going to be in the playoff, especially, I'll give you right now, if they lose this game, they say, oh, well, Nick wasn't there, and they're going to give him a mulligan and put him in the playoff anyway. But, you know, this could torpedo a whole season if this is something that takes him out of the running for a couple of weeks here and how it could change college football. We keep saying this is going to happen eventually. We've seen all these teams have issues. No one cared because it wasn't the teams that they, you know, really follow and that they put in the limelight. But here's the biggest program in all of college football right now without its head coach because of COVID.
And then Florida is, they canceled that game, postponed the Florida LSU game in Gainesville. And Dan Mullen backtracked on his comments about packing the swamp with 90,000. He said, now, whatever our local health officials come out and say, this is the number of people that we're going to allow at the game right now, that I want to encourage those people to come in, bring the energy, bring the excitement in the stadium, and help our team win. That's what he said today. He said that last week after losing to A&M, the crowd had an impact on the game, and he'd like to see 100% capacity at Ben Hill Griffith Stadium for the game against LSU. Of course, the governor, recent decision to lift restrictions that had limited the size of public gatherings. He said initially he wasn't intended to be a demand for increased attendance. I certainly apologize if I offended people, Mullen said. Total of 19 have tested positive over the last several days on the team. He said that everyone on the team was tested again this morning, and they determine the next course of action after those tests are returned. And bottom line is they're not playing the game. So this thing is very serious. No one likes to admit that it is. Ask anybody living in Wisconsin how serious it is. There's people dying left and right up there. It's out of control in Wisconsin. It's the hot spot in the country right now. It's crazy. We'll talk to Mr. Kercheval next on The Bench.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Ben Kercheval of CBS joins us on the bench to talk college football here. Astros up 4-2 in the sixth. The Rays have two on. Arozarena just hit a two-run home run his last time up. He's at bat now. Greinke still in the game. Astros up a pair after scoring two on the Springer home run in the bottom of the fifth inning. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Hey, so what did you think when you first heard Saban and Byrne had COVID?
Surprised, but also not surprised. I don't think anything can surprise you anymore. We're seven, if not 8 months going into this. And look, we can have a discourse about, do you think this is serious? This is not serious. But I mean, at the end of the day, this is a virus. It does not care who you are. It doesn't care if you're Nick Saban. Doesn't care if you're the president of the United States. It does not take very much for this to spread. Now, thankfully, so far, Saban doesn't have any symptoms. A lot of the spread that we've seen in college football with players, you know, a lot of asymptomatic cases, mild symptoms, nothing really as far as hospitalizations are concerned, at least during the season. Those are all good things. But it doesn't take very much for this thing to spread very quickly. So you hope Saban's fine. You hope Greg Byrne is fine. But it really seems like for everybody, it seems like more of a matter of time when you're dealing with close quarters and close contact and being around each other every day. And there's no bubble.
Do you think Sarkisian will do a good job running the team on Saturday against Georgia? Because that appears to be where they're headed.
Well, Sarkisian has head coaching experience, so he does have that on his side. I would be stunned if Nick Saban, the most rigid person in the world, does not have a plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E for everything that goes on in his program. He always talks about the process and preparation, and I think certainly – you know, had this in mind when moving forward with the season. What happens when either him or someone else, as he would say, in a position of leadership, can't be available? So I think they're ready for it. I would be interested to see. I haven't checked bookmakers to see what the line was. I know it jumped up to 6.5. I wonder how much Saban being out would maybe affect that line. But I don't think you're going to see anything markedly different from Alabama. I think they feel like they're prepared. Certainly not having Saban there, I think it can make it seem a little bit maybe scarier than it is. But otherwise, you know, they prepare every day to have that operation run, even if Saban isn't available.
Yeah, I'm seeing it at 4 right now, Alabama laying 4. Do you think that the comments about I've heard, you know, that Georgia, many people believe, have the best defense in the country. Have you seen that from Georgia in the games that I've watched? I haven't really been blown away by their defense. And I certainly don't think Alabama's defense looks good with what I saw Ole Miss do to them last week.
Well, statistically, in a lot of the advanced metrics will say that Georgia is the best defense in the country. I think they're very, very good. Yes. I think they have speed everywhere. They have a good defensive front. Yeah, I think athletically they can go toe-to-toe with Alabama. Alabama's defense is not as good. I think that's actually kind of quietly almost been the case now for a couple of years. Not that they haven't been good, maybe just not as dominant as we have seen from Saban-led teams sort of earlier in the past couple of years. So the way I can see this game going, what's interesting about Georgia is they are really built to still kind of win in lower scoring boa constrictor type ways. But the moves they made in the offseason, bringing Todd Monken in at offensive coordinator, bringing Jamie Newman in as a transfer quarterback from Wake Forest, the idea was we can't do this Jake Fromm 3 yards in a cloud of dust thing. If we want to beat LSU, if we want to beat Alabama, we have to be able to score. So they went about the plan in the right way, but you know, Jamie Newman opted out. Stetson Bennett is your quarterback now. He's been good, but you know, he was string for a reason entering the season. And so when you put them up against Alabama, are they going to be able to, you know, score if this thing gets, you know, past the 20s, if it gets into the 30s? So I don't think it will. I think Georgia's defense is very, very good. It's just, do they have enough firepower, explosiveness, especially in the passing game? If Alabama gets one of those quick strike touchdowns, can they keep up with them?
What do you think happened to Costello and Mike Leach and Mississippi State after they beat LSU? What the hell happened to that team? It's like the craziest thing ever. How do you play that great in Baton Rouge and then so terrible ever since, to the point where the coach is saying he's got to get rid of malcontents?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think it says a lot about LSU. I think they lost a lot on that side of the ball. And Bo Pelini's back there running that defense. He's not been very good. So first of all, I think that says a lot about the Tigers. As far as it pertains to Mississippi State, first of all, you're not going to get the full Mike Leach experience unless you upset someone you're not supposed to, and then also go turn around and, you know, lay nothing against Kentucky. Your only points are a safety. But what's really happened is they're just turning the ball over. And a lot of times that'll happen with a Mike Leach offense because they throw the ball 60 times a game. But Costello's been a turnover machine. And, you know, when he was at Stanford, he was really good in that offense because he was good at long back shoulder throws to Arcega Whiteside. And then they had a running game off of that. But really what they would do is they would pass down the field. With Leach's system, it's way more about, you know, short routes, option routes, and you have to have a lot of team chemistry with your quarterback and your wide receivers. And so I think for the past couple of games, they've run into some defense that figured out in a zone coverage, you know, you're going to have to make them make decisions, and Costello just hasn't made very good decisions.
How do you think that Pitt-Miami game is going to be? I think that's going to be a good game. Pitt always gives Miami problems. You remember the year they beat Notre Dame at Hard Rock and then went to Pittsburgh and lost? Do you think Pitt, I mean, obviously, they look decent this year so far. Do you think they'll give the Canes a game in Miami?
They can. Pitt passes the ball. That's their offense. Right? So if they're able to just go down the field passing the ball, then, yeah, I think they have a chance against Miami. The Hurricanes, you know, obviously very gifted athletically with De'Aaron King, Brevin Jordan. I mean, they have great athletes on that side of the ball. It's really going to be whether, one, Pitt defensively, that defensive front is very, very good. If they can get to King and really cause some disruptions in the backfield, then I think they have a shot. Pitt's going to take their chances down the field. I think they're going to go for some big plays, you know, try to get some points on the board to stay up with Miami. It's really just going to be about that defensive front. I figure what that line is off the top of my head, but I think I have Pitt covering at least in that one, if not making it pretty close. I'll take Miami straight up, but I think Pitt gives them the game for sure.
Yeah, it's Pitt's getting 13. How do you think Tennessee responds after the game last week where they go home to Knoxville now and take on Kentucky?
Well, you have to get right in terms of getting your running game back on track. You mentioned Georgia's defense a little bit ago, Scotty. Tennessee, zero luck running the ball against Georgia's defense. Well, Kentucky has pretty good defense, too. So Tennessee, you have this very good offensive line. It's touted coming into the season. You have to get back to basics with that. A lot of pressure on Jared Guarantano from the quarterback position, but at the end of the day, a lot of quarterbacks are only as good as your protection. You need to be able to get back to running the ball. I think this is a rock fight with Kentucky. But if you're Tennessee, okay, you didn't beat Georgia, all right? You're not maybe back up to where you want to be yet. But if you've taken steps forward as a program, you got to be able to get right. You got to be able to bounce back. One loss can't become two. I think this is underrated, a very big game for Jeremy Pruitt.
So what do you think of the Irish, how they look so far? They're taking on Louisville and South Bend.
Could be an interesting game. Notre Dame's not maybe necessarily blowing people out of the water, but they have a very good run game. Louisville's defense right now, they just don't have a lot of dudes. They just don't have a lot of guys. I think if you get a team that is very athletic on offense, they have a hard time containing you. The Miami game was a real indicator of that. Notre Dame, maybe not the pure speed, but certainly, again, able to run the ball, able to kind of grind it out. I think Louisville offensively, with Cunningham at quarterback, Howard at running back, I think they have some guys who can give Notre Dame fits. So I think Louisville has a little bit more of a spirited effort than we've seen in the past couple weeks. At the end of the day, though, I don't know that I trust them enough defensively if Notre Dame's going, all right, it's 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. We got to have a six-minute drive here. I think they're the type of team that can close it out.
Respectfully, I got about 45 seconds. I'm excited to see the Big Ten and Pac-12 start up, and give me some more games than I'm getting now.
Yeah, it's I do my rankings every single week when the Saturdays are done, and I got like these teams at number 10. I'm going like, BYU is not the 10th best team in the country, Sky.
Right.
But they're there because the Big Ten and the Pac-12 aren't playing. Ready to see Ohio State. Ready to see Oregon. Talk about Georgia's defense earlier. I think Oregon might have a really great defense as well. If we're gonna do this thing, then we got to do it all the way. We can't be doing it with 60 teams, and I'm sitting here trying to rank 25 teams telling me that Cincinnati's number 11. Like, get out of here.
Right. All right. Hey, Ben, great stuff. It's always good catching up. Enjoy the games this weekend. This game tonight's been pretty decent. There's more games tomorrow, Friday, and then all day Saturday. I'll catch up with you again soon, brother. Take care.
All right. Stay safe. Take care.
All right. Ben Kercheval of CBS on the Bench. All right, Pharrell on the Bench. So Coastal Carolina has the ball, 5.5 minutes to go. They're in their own end. They stopped Louisiana on a 3rd and 6 and forced them to punt. So, I mean, they got the ball, perfect chance to have a game-winning drive, get down there, kick a field goal or score, one or the other. Because if they keep messing around here, it would appear to me that they'll end up giving the ball back to the Cajuns, and then Louisiana will go down and score and win the game. Every time they've had to score, they've scored, Louisiana. But when they're just in a natural possession, they don't get anything done. But when there's pressure or the other team's winning or whatever it is, they seem to respond. Yeah, and it's amazing to me. Now, I don't know this kid from Adam from Coastal Carolina. He just caught a pass. I don't know. I think he's number 6. Like his uniform's all crunkled up and whatever. I don't know the guy from Adam, so I'm just going to call it for what I see it. So I saw him catch a touchdown pass earlier in the game. And when he caught the pass in the end zone, I mean, this guy talked so much shit to the guy that was defending him. What happened was the the corner was trying to strip the ball from him in the end zone, like after he'd already caught the touchdown, right? He caught it. Both feet were in bounds. It was a third down play. It was a tight rope pass to the corner. And, you know, right along the line, like in the middle of the end zone, but on the right side, in the middle of the end zone box, right? So he was right along the line. He had to toe drag the whole deal, but he caught it. And then, because there was a tight end flying in front of him, and he almost ruined the play because the tight end thought the ball was passed to him, but it wasn't. It was passed to this number six. So the number six guy catches the touchdown. The corner tries to yank the ball out of his hands, and he didn't succeed in that attempt. And then this number six guy got in his face right in front of the ref and talked so much shack you couldn't even imagine. I mean, it was so obvious. He was just absolutely in his face talking. I mean, you name it, he was saying it, because he had, you know, caught the TD that gave him the lead, and this guy had tried to strip him of the ball and he didn't get it. And number six was having none of it. So now, fast forward to the fourth quarter with 4 minutes left in the game, I see the guy catch a pass on the sideline. And when he gets up, he stands over the guy and starts talking shack to him. Like, and it's amazing to me that in the world of refs, where they call everything, and if you unsportsmanlike conduct or taunt an opponent, it's just an automatic flag, particularly in college football, right? So, I mean, you watch any game, and what happens is these kids are so cocky now that they dance after every play, they show off, they strut around, they overreact to everything. A guy will gain 3 yards and he'll dance. A guy will give up a 15-yard play and make the tackle, he'll get up and dance. So they all dance, they all act like idiots, and they know they're on television, they show off, they're completely immature and selfish. That's all there is to it, right? So every play, every tackle is turned into this big, you know, dance party. It's a boy band party. It's a boy band party. And then all of a sudden, you know, you see a guy with his face literally in the other guy's face. He like headbutts him in the end zone and is like got his arms back and he's talking to this guy right in his face. And the ref was standing right there and never threw the flag. Then I see him do it in the fourth quarter, standing over the guy like he was Iverson standing over Ty Lue, standing over him with both legs and talking all kinds of trash to him right in front of the ref. And the ref doesn't throw a flag. And even more so, that's crazy, is that they're the road team. And you would think that on the road in Louisiana's building, in their stadium, the ref is not going to have it. You're not going to have some guy on the other team, you know, showboating and unsportsmanlike conduct, taunting opponents on the field in the middle of the game. I saw the guy do it twice and they never threw the flag. And meanwhile, like, I'm betting on Coastal. I got him +7. I don't care. I don't care who the kid is. I don't care if he talks to his mother that way. All I know is if you do it, in even an NFL game, let's face it, if you taunt in an NFL game and, like, you know, start, you know, spiking a ball in front of some guy or dancing in front of some guy or talking smack to some guy in his face after you score a touchdown or wherever it is, they'll throw the flag. They'll throw it as sure as I'm standing here in NFL football. They'll throw it. In college, they throw it because they don't want these kids acting like buffoons on the football field. Meanwhile, I saw this kid tonight. I don't know who he is. I'm just telling you, number six is a jackass. I've seen him all night, opening his big fat mouth. It's a boy band party.
Boy dance party.
In the olden days.
It's a boy dance party. It's a boy band party. It's a boy dance party. Mafia getting involved. Anyway, I have, like, I don't have any bones in this, really, other than the bet. And there's a minute left. And they got the ball, second down, Coastal's got the ball, and they're getting ready, it would appear to me, to, at the very least, bring in their kicker and try to win the game, which is a huge road win for them if they can make it. But we are still not at that point yet where we're going to see this kid come in. I have to see exactly where they are on the field in terms of field position, too, because I don't know where he is. And I have no idea if the Coastal kicker's any good. I'm not listening to the game. I'm just watching it. Blah, blah, blah. So going back to the Rays game for a second, they had the bases loaded in the sixth, right? And they and Greinke pitched his way out of it, struck out the two-out batter, struck him out, and I think it was that Brousseau guy, struck him out, full count with the bases loaded. And those are the kinds of nightmare at-bats with the bases full, all jammed up. And all it takes is a single ties the game, and they got nothing out of it. They're still down 4-2. So Coastal Carolina is at the 25-yard line of Louisiana, 2nd and 6, a minute left. And now they run it down to, like, get a 3-yard gain. They're still I want to see in terms of Louisiana's got one timeout left, and Coastal's got two timeouts left. I'm assuming here that it had to be that Louisiana called their final timeout because they've blown it. That is the final timeout for the Raging Cajuns. Game's tied 27 apiece. Perfect position for a game-winning field goal. But what they need to do here on 3rd and 3, if they, you know, they're going to get even closer or whatever. Let's say if, I mean, they're right now ready to kick. They can't stop the clock. So, you know, Coastal can knock it down to, whatever, 5 seconds left and freeze it and then kick the field goal, and that'll be that. So they're trying to give confidence to this kicker and see if he can go out there and nail it. He looks fairly confident. He's clapping. His name is Biscardi, and I wish it was Bacardi because, as Mavia knows, I used to love those Bacardi and Cokes. Boy, could I drink rum like a British sailor, honestly. I was a champion rum drinker. Don't you think, Mafia, at some point or another, I had to have won some kind of a Bacardi belt?
You did love it, but wasn't it, the Cuban or the Dominican rum you loved more than the Bacardi? You loved the island rum more than just the regular Bacardi.
And Costa Rican rum or something. I think it was, maybe it was Colombian. It was definitely, remember my neighbor got it for me.
Right, it was your neighbor had gotten it from, you know, his country, so it wasn't like something that was local. Hector. He actually brought special for you, yeah, your boy.
I keep thinking, was it Argentina? Maybe it was Argentinian rum. I don't know. I can't remember. I haven't seen that guy. I saw that guy once since I moved.
Got you messed up. That's all I remember.
Oh, I have that. I have a bottle of that in my basement, too, still to this day. Remember it had the leather pouch that fit over the bottle? You remember because you drank a lot of it, too. You drank a lot of booze in my backyard, dude. Seriously.
Good times there.
I'll never forget. Were you in the garage when Granny walked in on us and we were working a gigantic hoagie?
Yeah, that was you and me. We were watching football. The wife and kids were out of the house. It was just us there. We go in the garage, we want to stick up the house, and all of a sudden we just see someone walking by the window. We're like, what the hell, who's there? Freaking out, you know, getting all paranoid. Then we realized it was her. It's like, oh no, hide it. Get rid of it. Spray the spray.
She's cool, though. She doesn't care. She likes
like,
edibles.
Oh, yeah, I thought I had a hole in my tire here, so I took the nail out. I was completely playing it off, like you showed me the car.
Meanwhile, there was smoke everywhere. You couldn't even see. It was like purple haze. All I know is she's great in her older age. She loves, she'll do anything. Edibles, she'll eat candy. She'll do the purple kush drink. She'll do the drops in her drink. She'll try gummy bears. She'll do anything. She loves it. Who doesn't? I think they're putting that on the ballot as well here in November to legalize that in the state of New Jersey. That's a great plan. You know, I hate politicians. You also know Murphy's been on my show to talk about sports betting be allowed in New Jersey. So Governor Murphy, I like, but I still don't like politicians, so I don't like him either, even though I like him. I like him because he legalized sports betting, and now he's going to legalize reefer. And, I mean, what is next? Prostitution? I don't know. What's next? Like, I mean, they're just like, this guy will do anything to make money. That's what I like about him. He's kicking New York's ass when it comes to sports betting. And the kid makes the game-winning field goal with 4 seconds left. Your boy Bacardi and Coke. Biscardi kicks the winner, and Coastal's going to steal out of Lafayette with a 30-27 win. He kicked a perfect boot right down the middle. Well, I had Coastal in the 7 spot, so that covers at least. There you go. I don't see anything. There's 4 seconds left. I guess Louisiana would have to run it back. Maybe that'll happen. Who knows? After I've seen everything else happen. So anyway, now in the 7th, they've gone to the bullpen. Javier pitching for the Astros, and the Rays are down 4-2. Now, the game's obviously not over yet, but I think I feel like the bases loaded there in the 6th or whatever it was with, the chance to, get a hit and tie the game, and they blew it and they didn't get anything. I think that actually pretty much for me felt like the end. It felt like that was their chance. Now they get a runner on now, but with 2 outs. So I'm not a big believer that all of a sudden they're going to have this gigantic rally off Javier with two outs and 1 on, but it is what it is. The final score of that other game, I believe, was 15-1. The Dodgers absolute 15-3, I guess, was the final. 15-3 was the final score. The Braves tacked on a couple, but 15 runs, 11 runs in the first inning. I think every single Dodger in the lineup scored a run in that inning. By the way, it was the most runs ever scored in a baseball playoff game in one inning in the first inning in history. So what's crazy is the Braves were the team that got in the division series last year in game 5, got eliminated by the Cardinals when the Cardinals put 10 on them in the first inning. Now you go to the NLCS this year and they give up 11 runs to the Dodgers in the first inning. I mean, that couldn't happen. You couldn't even make that up if you tried. On the bench. When we come back, I'm going to get into this a little bit more. I don't have a lot of time right now, but I did want to bring it up, is that this kid, Dwayne Haskins, has, bottom line, sent home again for being allegedly sick from the Washington football team facility and practice today. So you got to remember, first of all, it's not COVID, right? So they're claiming that it's something to do with his stomach. It has nothing to do with COVID. He passed COVID tests, but they're saying he has a gastrointestinal problem. And then here's the deal. Sunday morning, this guy shows up on game day and says he's got a stomach ache, and he had been benched for Kyle Allen. And Alex Smith was the number 2, and he had been placed number 3 on the depth chart, right? So suddenly he's got a stomach ache. And then they sent him home on Sunday, game day. They just sent him home because, obviously he had a stomach ache. Now, fast forward to Wednesday, the guy shows up at practice. This is just me surmising, right? Guy shows up at practice today. He's still got the same problem. I mean, honestly, like, when is the last time you had a stomach ache from Sunday to Wednesday? I mean, let's get real here for a second. Like, you get a stomach ache, you get a little reaction or something, and you're sick for what? Like, 12 hours, 24 hours max? Like, you got it or something? Like, Mafia, you've seen me have it before. I had action in Vegas, right? It's like, bro, I can't even get through the show. I'm running to the bathroom. But I was taking Imodium, everything to try to clog up that leak. All I know is it's like a 24-hour thing at worst. Meanwhile, this guy's rocking, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, when we come back, I'll tell you what I think of that whole lie, because that's exactly what it is.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.